This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, if you'd like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. And remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website. My website has other information that might be helpful to you. It also has a weekly meditation that I try to post every Monday. So if you want to make comments on the program or need to contact me, you can do so either through the website or through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses in a few moments. Now, today is June 21st, and it's the longest day of the year, the summer solstice. It's also Father's Day. And it's interesting that we have come to Genesis 24 with regard to the journey we're making through the book of Genesis. And in Genesis 24, we have a father making a provision for his son. So it's an appropriate topic for Father's Day. And while I don't want to spend a lot of time on Father's Day today and the meaning of it, I do hope that you are one who had a good father, and you are one who is trying to be a good father. We know that fathers make a world of difference in the lives of their children. And while mothers and fathers both contribute to a happy home, a father who loves the Lord and who loves his wife and who loves his children is indeed a blessing in our day. And I hope that the children that are listening to me today will honor their fathers. As the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, since this is the first commandment with promise. And that promise was a promise that the children of Israel would not live long lives necessarily, but that they would live in the land of Israel for a long time. And of course, honoring your father and your mother is extremely important when your father and mother both are trusting in the Lord and teaching you the Bible. Now we get into complications when fathers and mothers have turned away from the Lord and are training their children in paths of disobedience, and we won't go into the effect of that today and what our attitude should be. We're just going to assume today that those listening to my voice are people who have good fathers, good mothers, and those who are good fathers and good mothers. And I've included mothers because I don't think we can have a Father's Day without thinking about mothers, and we can't have a Mother's Day without thinking about fathers. We are units. We are not individuals in this life. We all affect one another. Now, as we come to Genesis 24, I'm going to teach you about the sun. That is the S-O-N. But today, being the longest day of the year, it's called the summer solstice, and there will be people who will honor the sun, but they will be honoring the S-U-N. And that is something that God despises. He tells us not to worship the sun and the stars. He tells us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are to do that by worshiping the Lord Jesus. We know that it is only natural to assume that the sun, which has such an influence on our seasons and weather and moods and so on, that it has godlike powers. But God created the sun, and He created the moon, and we are not to worship that which has been created. We are to worship the Creator. So today, I want to draw your attention to the proper sun, the S-O-N. And that S-O-N is the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised sun. In Genesis 22, we looked at that promised son being Abraham, the father, being willing to offer that promised son on an altar. He went obediently to do the father, to do God's will as a father, even though he loved his son. And we can see that that son, that promised son, is a picture, again, of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we came to Genesis 23, and we found out that God had, that Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim, but that God had given him a wife, Sarah, and she had died. And so he bought property in the land of Canaan to bury Sarah. And as near as we can tell, it's the only property he ever owned. He owned cattle and sheep and so on, but he never owned property. He was a pilgrim and a stranger. And we noted last time that he was just passing through. And that's the picture that we as Christians need to remember, that when it comes to this life, we're just passing through. And now we come to Genesis chapter 24. And this is a very beautiful chapter because it deals again with a father making preparation for his son, and he sends an unnamed servant back to Syria, where he had lived for a time and where he had family. So he sends this unnamed servant back to Syria to find a bride for his unique son Isaac. In Genesis 22, we can see his faith was tested by being called by God to offer that son Isaac upon an altar. And he would have been willing to do that because he believed God was able to raise him from the dead. He did believe in the promises of God, but he also believed in being obedient. But now Sarah has died and he's concerned about Isaac having a proper bride. And he doesn't want Isaac to take a bride from the people in the land, the Canaanites. He wants to find a bride from the people who, as I would understand it, would have worshipped God in the same way he did, the living God of heaven, and who would have come out of the Ur of the Chaldees, out of Babylon, and would have left that idolatry behind. Now, there's some question whether they fully left that idolatry behind, because they had household idols, apparently, and we could go into that. But I believe that what Abraham was trying to do was find a bride for Isaac that would be, if we were to use New Testament terms, a believer in the living God, a believer in Jehovah, one who would, in our day, have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter, I'd like to read the whole thing with you, but there's a couple of important verses. And one of them is found in Genesis 24 and verse 3, where Abraham is talking to this unnamed servant. And he says, "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan among whom I dwell." And then when this unnamed servant gets up to Syria, and through the providence of God, he meets the promised bride. In this case, it's Rebecca. And he spends time giving her jewelry, telling her about Isaac, and spending time with her brother Laban. When he's done all of that, then finally the decision has to be made as to whether Rebecca will go with this unnamed servant back to Israel. It would be Israel today, and would be willing to become the bride of Isaac. Now, I am satisfied that this unnamed servant spoke well of Isaac. He told about his riches. He told about his father's love. He told about the unique nature of his relationship with God and with his father. And I'm sure he did everything in his power to make Isaac attractive to Rebecca, because Rebecca was a very attractive and desirable woman as a bride. And so then he comes to Genesis 24, verse 58. And it says, "Then they called Rebecca and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" I think that's a very important verse. There was a lot of years when I read that verse this way, "Wilt thou go to this man?" thinking the question was, would she go to Isaac? But that's really not the question. The question is, will you go with this man? And the man she was going with was the man who had told her about Isaac, this servant who was a picture of the Holy Spirit, this unnamed servant. And she said, "I will go." Now, everyone who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has listened to the Holy Spirit use the Word of God And you listen to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to sin, but we've also listened to the Holy Spirit tell us of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the glories of heaven, but the glories of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. One of the verses we always quote with regard to this issue is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so now Rebecca has to respond to what the Holy Spirit, this unnamed servant, has told her. "And wilt thou go with this man?" And was she willing to walk by faith and not by sight and put herself in the hands of one that she really hadn't known all her life, hadn't known very long at all, who had told her about a man she had never met? Was she willing to do that? And she says, "I will go." And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not only saying, "Yes, I believe that Christ died for my sins," but we are committing ourselves to an unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit, who will now guide us into all truth and will tell us of the things concerning Christ and who will take us safely home. And it's interesting as you look at this story that Rebecca lived in Syria in a place called Haran, and she had to go down to Israel near Kadesh Barnea to a well where Isaac was dwelling. That well was Beer Lahai-Roi. And the distance between the two places is close to 700 miles. And she was going to make the trip on a camel. Well, actually on camels. And the camels would travel probably 25 to 30 miles a day if what I find on the internet with regard to that is true. She would be traveling 650 to 700 miles. She would have to be traveling for close to 30 days. And I have wondered if with rest stops and so forth, if she might not have traveled 40 days, since 40 days seems to be, or the number 40 seems to be associated with a time of trial in the Bible. The children of Israel were 40 days in the wilderness. The Lord was 40 days and 40 nights tempted in the wilderness, and so on. The flood was on the earth for, the rain was on the earth for 40 days. So we look at that 40-day period, and she had to make that journey without a McDonald's and without a Red Roof Inn. And she had to make it trusting in the ability of this unnamed servant to take her safely to Isaac, and he was able to do it, and he did take her safely to Isaac. And when she saw Isaac, she became his wife, and Isaac loved his bride. And it's a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit is doing today as he tries to convince men that Jesus Christ is the proper son to worship. He's the son of his father. He's the one that the father loved. He's committed all things into his hand, and this son has died for his bride in order to obtain a bride. And when we trust in the Lord, we become a part of that engaged, betrothed bride, and the Holy Spirit, guaranteed, will bring us safely home. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson, bless thy word, bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We thank thee for the unnamed servant in our life. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.